An English teacher at a New York City high school claims she was fired because of a lesson on the so-called Central Park Five that school administrators warned would, quote, rile up black students. Gina Lee Walker recently filed a lawsuit in federal court against the Department of Education and several administrators from the High School for Arts, Imagination, and Inquiry after being fired for insubordination and poor evaluations. She claims they were the result of her pushing back on topics like the Central Park Five. Lee Walker, who graduated from Barnard and has postgraduate degrees from Harvard and Fordham, began working at the school in 2013 and said she was told to be more, quote, balanced in covering the Central Park Five case in November of that year. The lawsuit claims retaliation against her violated her First Amendment right to discuss the Central Park Five case, and that the firing also violated the city's contract with the teachers' union because she was not given a required 60 days' notice. As listeners will recall, the Central Park Five, who were wrongfully jailed for the 1989 rape of a Central Park jogger, received a $42 million settlement from New York City. In 2014, they sued the state, seeking $52 million in damages for the emotional trauma of being incarcerated for years for a crime they were coerced into confessing to. Joining us today is Miss Lee Walker's attorney, Ambrose Watterson. Ambrose, welcome to Law and Disorder.
Thank you for having me.
We were especially interested to learn about this case because we've covered other similar kinds of cases where teachers have taught things that really spark concern among the public and among students, but then they're retaliated against. If you will lay out briefly the details of this, was a film shown as part of the curriculum?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, there was a film shown as part of the curriculum about the Central Park Five. It's actually a fairly well-known documentary that she used as part of the class, and she would encourage discussion in the class. She's an English teacher, so the purpose of it was to get the students writing and to get them vitally engaged. And she says it was awesome. The students were very engaged. Most of her students were black and Latino students, and they were, you know, writing and having very, very good discussion.
And now the high school she taught at is the High School for Arts, Imagination, and Inquiry. And when I hear that name, I think this might be a progressive environment where creative thought and discussion is encouraged.
Well, unfortunately, it is not uncommon that the best ideas are not actuated, or the best ideas a lot of times is not exactly how the school functions. So, for example, that word inquiry would lead you to believe that the school is progressive, and maybe it started off being that way, but in no uncertain terms, she was told to, quote-unquote, be balanced. And her first response was, well, how do you be balanced on something like this? The facts are the facts. So
now, did any of the students complain about this
None of
subject?
The students complained. None of the parents complained. The complaints came solely, from what we understand, solely from high-level administrators. That's it. No one else complained. In fact, if anything, you know, students were very interested, and there was quite a buzz about the class.
And engaged.
Correct.
So Miss Lee Walker wasn't given a hearing or the, I think, 60 days required notice.
That's correct.
And she was terminated.
That's correct. Typically, for probationary teachers, you at least have 60 days notice, and the idea is maybe you can improve your situation, although I'm not so sure 60 days is enough to do that. But you do have an opportunity to, you know, contest, you know, what the officials are saying. She was given literally less than 2 weeks' notice about her termination. And so that's one of the causes of action, our complaint. We've got a due process claim pending as well.
Now, what I find shocking about this is that these are five young defendants, well, not so young now because they were incarcerated.
Oh, yeah, they're men now.
They're men.
Yes.
And we've seen the film and we know some of the lawyers in the case, but the city paid out a huge settlement to these men.
$40 million.
So it's not as though, exactly, $40 million. Mm. It's not as though there wasn't fault that in a the environment that we're faced now with the criminal justice system being under a lens for racial issues, I just find this a surprising development.
Well, what's the law, Ambrose? Why can't a teacher exercise her free speech rights to talk about her opinion and teach a class on her opinion on this terrible injustice?
Sure. Well, first of all, the teachers are allowed to do that. But in 2006, there was a Supreme Court case, which most of us are familiar with. I'm sure you're familiar with it, Garcetti versus Ceballos. And that was a case where the Supreme Court said, you do not have a First Amendment right if you're a civil servant and you're talking about or complaining about something that is part of your job. So in the Ceballos case, you had an assistant district attorney who complained to the famous Gil Garcetti of the O.J. Simpson fame, complained to Garcetti that there was a police officer who seemed to not be telling the truth. He wrote a report, and he was retaliated against by termination because he wrote the report. The Supreme Court said, nice try. That's not a First Amendment case. It was your job to report on police corruption or police lying, so you have no First Amendment. Too bad. So all the courts in the various district courts in the United States have sort of taken the position that, you know, if you are making a complaint and you're talking about something that is expected as part of your job, it's not a First Amendment complaint. So, for example, if a teacher complains that, for example, her special education students are not being taught properly or they're not getting services, it's not a First Amendment claim. She's expected to complain. Now, what's interesting, though, is the Supreme Court actually carved out an exception in the Garcetti case. They specifically said that their decision did not apply to academic freedom. And so here we have the exception. This is a situation where not only was she teaching about a matter of public concern, she had some fairly shrill discussions with her supervisors about their political differences as to Miranda rights in the Central Park Five.
Now, from the articles that I've read, it was stated that the authorities in the school said, quote, they didn't want to rile up the students. And does your lawsuit address any of that?
Yes, it does. Understand that this happened just as Black Lives Matter movement started. And so there may have been some concern that it might rile up students. I think that's kind of ridiculous. I think you want to have students who are engaged and who, you know, have some independent thought. But, you know, she was essentially told that we don't want any kind of little mini riots and anything that we can't handle, and it's kind of ridiculous.
There's a disturbing racial a stereotype there, though, mm-hmm. that persons of color, young students, African-American, Latino, would get riled up in
right.
response.
Or that they wouldn't be mature enough to
exactly.
have a mature discussion about this. But
Ambrose, so what's the legal basis of your lawsuit? Why shouldn't they be allowed to do this to this woman?
Well, we brought it under, you know, the First Amendment, Section 1983, as you're probably familiar with, which allows individuals to sue government. As a public school teacher, she's a governmental employee, and to the extent that you had governmental employees, people who are acting in color of state law, telling her that she couldn't do this, and then fired her, that would have been a violation of her First Amendment rights. So we brought the two causes of action under due process, the 14th Amendment, as well as the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution.
Now, I also read that some of her performance reviews after this film and discussion started to decline.
That's true. Hmm. Understand, this is a woman who has a stellar background.
She went to Harvard, didn't she?
Yes, that's correct. She's always done well, and she started off doing well. And the timeline is such that you don't start to see complaints until this occurred. And they start off with, like, really, really minor complaints. I'm not going to, you know, go into the specific facts, although that's pretty much laid out in her complaint. But they started off with minor complaints about things she didn't do or things she didn't complete on time. And then it elevated to, you know, just very, very poor performance reviews. So it's our view that those performance reviews are pretextual, and what's really going on here is that they didn't like the fact that she was so vocal.
What does Ms. Lee Walker hope to gain from the suit? Does she want reinstatement of her position?
This is a woman who doesn't seem that she's looking for money or that's not what's driving her. Her passion is teaching. And she, while she's doing some tutoring now, she's not in a classroom setting. This is a woman who was actually working on her PhD at the time and decided she wanted to be a little bit more practical and she wanted to give back, not later, but now. And so she elected to start with the New York City, you know, school system. So she would like some sort of reinstatement. She wants to be back in the classroom.
Ambrose, I wanted you to reflect on this contrast. In Chicago, where police commander Burge tortured over 100 black men into false confessions and was later put in prison for lying about this. In Chicago, there have been reparations paid now. The city council has decided to help these men, and they've also agreed to provide free college education for them, psychological help for them, and this is what's relevant to your suit, I think. They've agreed to put a curriculum into the Chicago high schools to talk about this kind of police abuse, and contrast that to New York City, where they won't even rehire this poor woman for bringing to light a case of gross injustice.
Yeah, that is quite a contrast. We're still very early in the case. We filed suit last week, and almost immediately I got telephone calls from, you know, various members of the press regarding the suit. So, you know, whether or not this is a matter that is eventually resolved amicably with the city accepting or recognizing that indeed this is the kind of teacher we want in our classroom, I don't know, but it is quite a contrast between what you pointed out that happened in Chicago and what's currently happening here.
Of course, in Chicago, there's a movement. There are people pressuring the city council. There are people in the streets. There's coalition. There is a lot of citizen involvement. It just didn't drop from a tree. This reparations was forced on the government. I'm hopeful that there'll be some kind of public support shown here in New York for Miss Lee Walker. If our listeners want to get involved in this, what should they do?
Well, there's a couple of things. You can certainly call my office, which is 646-242-3227.
Repeat that, please.
Sure, 646-242-3227 or 609-598-0567. As far as I know, there hasn't been any organization or movement yet. I've seen a couple of hashtags, things like Gina Lee for president, things of that sort. But there's been a real outpouring, at least online, there's been a real outpouring of support. I do agree that typically good cases should have some sort of backbone of political support, because when the case dies or it settles, you want to make sure that there's some legacy and you want to make sure that somehow people are continuing to organize around that issue.
Well, we are thrilled to have you here in the studio with us. We wish you the best of luck and we'd like to stay in touch and follow this case.
Glad to do so.
Ambrose, thank you so much for being on Law and Disorder.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.